nothing indicated an approaching storm. Still, since Noah believed God, he prepared for the downpour that God had promised. His friends must have mocked him, but he built an ark. Charles Stanley, in Life Principles, points out obedience is the cornerstone to our faith in God. And while Noah's obedience led to God's blessings and reward, the disobedience of his contemporaries led to their destruction. At the time of the flood, the physical salvation of mankind fell to Noah and to his willingness to be used by God. Building the ark did not bring Noah any closer to the Lord, but his obedience and faith in God did. The minor point was that he was kept safe and dry. Genesis 6:9 introduces us. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Nothing's known of the early life of Noah, and when first appeared on the scene, here he is 500 years old. And evidently his father Lamech was a religious man and gave his son a fitting name, meaning rest. The Maxwell Leadership Bible continues, God didn't choose Noah randomly. He knows whom he can count on to get things done, and it's not necessarily the one with the most skill or talent or social standing. Rather, it's the one who daily walks with him, the one who hears his voice and follows his lead. Noah was just such a man. And no doubt, Noah had his own weaknesses and frailties, but he walked with God, and it was that close walk that made him righteous before the Lord. Warren Wiersbe adds, Noah's great-grandfather Enoch had walked with God and was suddenly taken to heaven and rescued from the impending judgment of the flood. Enoch modeled a godly life for his son Methuselah. Methuselah must have passed it along to his son Lamech, who shared it with his son Noah. And how wonderful it is when generation after generation in one family is faithful to the Lord, especially at this time in history when there was so much violence and corruption as a normal way of life. The life of faith and obedience is compared to a walk, because this life begins with one step, trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This step of faith leads to a daily walk, a step at a time, a day at a time. As the Lord directs us, he commands us to walk in love, Ephesians 5:2, to walk as children of light, verse 8. A step at a time, a day at a time, we walk with the Lord. We are to walk circumspectly, carefully, Ephesians 5:15. He guides us into his will and blesses us with his wisdom and strength. So Noah was given the strange and almost impossible task of building a vessel large enough to not only shelter his family, but to take care of all the birds and beasts, a pair of them at this time. And then Noah set about the tremendous work of the ark's construction. Daily he had to contend with the ridicule of all the godless. And at last the waters of judgment covered the earth. But all within the ark were safe and saved. And what a striking illustration even this is of the ark affords of Christ, who preserves us from the flood of divine judgment. For every person, Scripture has a story. For every problem, God has a promise. For every occasion when we feel our own stories coming unraveled, God steps in with a message. Just trust me. I am the author and finisher of your life. That's the preface to a recent book by Max Lucado entitled They Walked with God, from which we draw much of today's message. Our text is found in Genesis 8, 6 through 11. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the floodwaters of the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and if it could find dry ground. But the dove could find no place to land because the water still covered the ground, so it returned to the boat. And Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. But this time the dove returned to him in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. Water. All that Noah can see is water. The evening sun sinks into it. The clouds are reflected in it. His boat is surrounded by it. Water to the north, water to the south, water to the east, water to the west. He can't remember when he's seen anything but. He and the boys had barely pushed that last hippo up the ramp when heaven opened 1,000 fire hydrants. Within moments, the boat was rocking. For days, the rain was pouring. And for weeks, Noah had been wondering, how long is this going to last? For 40 days, it rained. For months, they have floated. For months, they've eaten the same food and faced the same smells and looked at the same faces. And at a certain point, you sort of run out of things to say and tell each other. But finally, the boat bumped. The rocking stopped. And Mrs. Noah gave Mr. Noah a look. And Noah opened the hatch with a shove and poked his head through. The hull of the ark was resting on ground, but the ground was still covered by water. Noah, she yelled up to him, what do you see? Water. He sent a raven out on a scouting mission. It never returned. He sent a dove, and it came back shivering and spent, having found no place to roost. Then, just this morning, he tried again. He pulled a dove out of the bowels of the ark and ascended the ladder. The morning sun caused them both to squint, and as he kissed the breast of the bird, he felt a pounding heart, and had he put his hand on his own chest, he'd have felt another. With prayer, he let it go and watched it as the bird just became a little speck on the window. All day he looked for the bird's return. In between chores, he opened the hatch and searched. The boys wanted him to play a little bit of pin the tail on the donkey, but he passed. He chose instead to climb into the crow's nest and look. The wind lifted his gray hair. The sun warmed his weather-beaten face, but nothing lifted his heavy heart. He had seen nothing. And now the sun is setting, the sky is darkening, and he has come to look one final time, but all he sees is water. Water to the north, water to the south, water to the... water. You know the feeling. You stood where Noah stood. You've stood and known your share of floods. Flooded by sorrow at a cemetery, stress at the office, anger at your own disabilities in your body or inability of your spouse, or you've seen the floodwaters rise, and you've likely even seen the sun set on your hopes. You've been on Noah's boat, and you've needed what Noah needed. You've needed some hope. You're not asking for a helicopter rescue, but rather the possibility. The sound of one even would be nice. Hope doesn't promise instant solutions, but it does extend the possibility of an eventual one. And sometimes that's all we need, is a little hope. That's all Noah needed. And that's what Noah received. From 10 men on the Bible, 10 men of the Bible, the old sailor stares at the sun blistered by the horizon, could hardly imagine a more beautiful sight. But he'd give this one and 100 more for an acre of dry ground and a grove of grapes. Mrs. Noah's voice reminds him that dinner's on the table and he should lock down the hatch. And he's just about to call it a day when he hears the cooing of a dove. Here's how the Bible describes this moment. Verse 11, when the dove returned to him in the evening, there was in its beak a freshly plucked olive leaf. An olive leaf. Noah would have been happy to have the bird back, but to have the leaf. The leaf was far more than foliage. This was promise. The bird brought more than a piece of a tree. The bird brought hope. For isn't that what hope is? Hope is an olive leaf, evidence of dry land after a flood, proof to the dreamer that their dreaming is worth the risk. And don't we love the olive leaves of life? What's more, don't we love the doves that bring them? When a father walks his son through his first broken heart, he gives him an olive leaf. When the wife of many years consoles the wife of a few months, when she tells her that conflicts come and all husbands are moody and storms pass, you know what she's doing? She's giving an olive leaf. We love olive leaves, and we love those who give them. Perhaps the reason so many love Jesus. He stands near a woman who was yanked from a bed of promiscuity. She's still dizzy from the raid. The door slammed open, and the moral police came storming in, and now here she stands. Noah could see nothing but water, and all she can see is anger. She has no hope. But then Jesus speaks. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. John 8:7. Silence. Both the eyes and the rocks of the onlookers go to the ground. Within moments they have left, and Jesus is alone with the woman. The dove of heaven offers her relief. Woman, where are thou? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. And into her shame-filled world, he brings a leaf of hope. He does something similar for Martha. She's bobbing in a sea of sorrow. Her brother is dead and his body's been buried. And Jesus is late. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then I think she might have paused. I know that even now, God will do whatever you ask. And as Noah opened the hatch, Martha opened her heart. And as the dove brought a leaf, so Christ brings the same. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. So from the grove of grace, Jesus plucked a leaf for the woman, and from the tree of life, he pulled a sprig for Martha. And from both, he brings leaves to you, to me. Grace and life, forgiveness of sin, the defeat of death. This is the hope he gives, and this is the hope we need. In his book, The Grand Essentials, Ben Patterson tells of an S-4 submarine that sank off the coast of Massachusetts, and the entire crew was trapped. Every effort was made to rescue the sailors, but every effort failed. And near the end of the ordeal, a deep-sea diver heard a tapping on the steel wall of the sunken vessel. And as he placed his helmet against the sub, he realized he was hearing a sailor tap out a Morse code. Is there any hope? To the guilty who asked that question, Jesus says yes. To the death-struck who asked that question, Jesus answers yes. To the Noahs of the world, to all who search the horizon for a fleck of hope, he proclaims yes, and he comes. He comes as a dove. He comes bearing fruit from a distant land, from our future home. He comes with a leaf of hope. Have you received yours? Do you think your ark is too isolated, or think that your flood is too wide? Your toughest challenge is nothing more than bobby pins and rubber bands to God. Bobby pins and rubber bands? Max says, my older sister used to give them to me when I was a child. I would ride my tricycle up and down the sidewalk, pretending that the bobby pins were keys and my trike was a truck. But one day I lost those keys. Crisis. What was I going to do? My search yielded nothing but tears and fears. But when I confessed my mistake to my sister, she just smiled. Being a decade older, she had a better perspective. And God has a better perspective as well. With all due respect, our severest struggles are no more than bobby pins and rubber bands to God. He's not confounded or confused or discouraged. So receive his hope. Receive it because you need it. Receive it so that you can share it. What do you suppose Noah did with his? What do you think he did with that leaf? Do you think he just tossed it overboard into the sea? Or put it in his pocket and save it for a scrapbook? Or do you think he left out a hoop and assembled the troops and passed it around like the hope diamond that it was? Certainly he hooped. That's what you do with hope. What do you do with the leaves? You pass them out. You share them with the ones you love. Love always hopes. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love has hope in you. Love extends an olive leaf to the loved ones and says, I have hope in you. And love is just quick to say, I have hope for you. And you can say those words because you are a flood survivor. By God's grace, you have found your way to dry land. You know what it's like to see when the waters subside. And since you've passed through the flood and lived to tell about it, you're qualified to give hope to someone else. Max questions, what? Can't think of any floods in your past? Let me jog your memory. How even about adolescence? Remember the torrent of the teenage years? Remember the hormones and the hemlines and the puberty and the pimples? And those were tough times. Yeah, you're thinking, but you get through them. And that's exactly what teenagers need to hear you say. They need an olive leaf from a survivor. So do young couples. It happens in every marriage. The honeymoon ends and the river of reality and comes in instead of romance. And they wonder if they will survive. You can tell them they will. You've been through it. It wasn't easy, but you survived. You and your spouse found dry land. So pluck an olive leaf and take it to their ark. Are you a cancer survivor? Someone in the cancer ward needs to hear from you. Have you buried a spouse and lived to smile again, then find the recently widowed and walk with them. Your experiences in life have deputized you into a Dove Brigade. You have an opportunity to give hope to the ark-bound. You'll remember Paul's admonition in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. What a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass to them this same help and comfort that God has given us. Encourage those who are struggling. Well, don't know what to say, give them a leaf out of Scripture. The olive leaf for the Christian is a verse of Scripture. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You have a Bible? Then start passing out the leaves. To the grief-stricken, Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. To the guilt-ridden, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. To the jobless, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8:28. To those who feel beyond God's grace, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's his promise. Your Bible is a basket of leaves, so share them. They have amazing impact. After receiving his, Noah was a changed man. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He went up the ladder with questions. He came back down with confidence. What a difference one leaf makes. Warren Wiersbe. Noah was a man of faith whose name is recorded in Hebrews 11, along with the other heroes of faith. He had the faith to walk with God when the people of the world were ignoring and disobeying God. He had the faith to work for God and to witness for God when opposition to truth was the popular thing. When it comes to saving faith, each of us must trust Jesus Christ personally. We can't be saved by the faith of a substitute. Noah's wife, their three sons, and their three daughters-in-law were also believers. They proved it by standing with Noah while he worked and witnessed, and then by entering the boat in obedience to the Lord. At the end of the story of the flood, God says to Noah, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant. I am making between me and you and every living creature with you a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it'll be a sign of the covenant between me and earth. The Hebrew word for covenant, bereth, means a solemn agreement with binding force. God makes, and he never breaks his promises. His irrevocable covenant runs like a scarlet thread through all of the tapestry of Scripture. Every rainbow reminds us of God's covenant. I saw an interesting thing. Curiously, astronauts who've seen rainbows from outer space tell us that they actually are a complete circle. God's promises are equally unbroken, unending. As Jesus sought for a way to explain his return, he hearkened back to the flood of Noah. Matthew 24:38. In those days before the flood, he said, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving their children to be married until the day Noah entered the boat. They knew nothing about what was happening until the flood came and destroyed them. It'll be the same when the Son of Man comes. The parallels are obvious. A message of judgment was proclaimed then. It's proclaimed still. People didn't listen then. They refuse to listen today. Noah was sent to save the faithful. Christ was sent to do the same. A flood of water came then. A flood of fire will come next. Noah built a safe place out of wood. Jesus made a safe place for us with the cross. Those who believed hid in the ark. Those who believe are hidden in Christ. Selah.